are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
And then, but we have all these geniuses that are on the team that said, calm down. We know how to make this happen, Pastor. Go get your computer and we'll work it from there. So here we are. And hey, let me see. Let's give a shout to the Lord this morning. Come on. Come on. I haven't seen you in a few weeks. So good to be. I hope that doesn't explode either. So good to be with you. Pastor Greta and I had a wonderful time away, and we really needed some downtime to be refreshed and rejuvenated, and it was a real intense season for us with ministry and school for the last 2 years. That is finished. I finished my internship, and I had a last class, it was called Leadership Integration, and it's like writing your thesis on leadership and what you're going to do in your current place of leadership. And so I had a huge project I worked on for months, and I handed that in on the 8th, and I shouted a hallelujah after that. And so when I went away, I needed to get away. Can I tell you? You know when your head is just, it's been stuffed with so much that your brain is actually sore. And my brain was sore. And my soul was weary. And I just want to say thank you to our elders and the leadership team, the staff, for outstanding ministry while I was gone. I stayed connected in the sense of the sermons and was able to participate and watch those. And I was so blessed with the word that Pastor Plummer brought us. He's a dear friend of mine and a great brother in the Lord, and love spending time with him. I really thought he had something specific for us. If you didn't hear his word, make sure you go on Facebook or online and listen to the three-part process of faith increase if you're leading a spirit-led life. And then our women's director, Molly Porter, she really talked about preparing and anticipating how to walk in a spirit-led life. And then we had Pastor Deborah last week who hit it out of the park as well. I'm going to be talking about that and tying all that together this morning with you. I just want to, are you guys cool? Are you okay? You doing well? Put up your hands if, just go, hey, we're doing well. Can you shout out, we're doing well? Can you shout out, I love Jesus? I love Jesus like that? Come on, the pastor's back after 3 weeks. Surprise him with some energy. Tell him you love Jesus. That's good, because I can tell even with your masks on, I could see your smiles when you said that. So, yeah, we had a wonderful opportunity to pull our pop-up trailer and get out of town and go and do some camping. And what a wonderful way to relax and enjoy ourselves. And we are just so blessed. And the weather cooperated. We got caught in that big thunderstorm that was promised. It was raining cats and dogs and more, elephants and zebras and giraffes as well. I mean, it was quite a storm. And to stay dry in a pop-up, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. So this morning, I want to bring you the word, and I want to take us on a journey this morning. And let me make sure I can get this all set up here. There we go. And I want to talk to you this morning in continuation. We've been in this series called, you know, Living the Spirit-Led Life. Now, you can call it the Spirit-Filled Life, because if you're Spirit-filled, you're Spirit-led as well. But I particularly felt when putting and designing this sermon series that it was about being led by the Spirit. Because if you're being led by the Spirit, you also will be filled by the Spirit. Amen? So they actually coincide together. And I want to talk to you about how living a Spirit-led life, it's not an event. It's not that you come to a service and all of a sudden you're Spirit-led. It's not that you went to a small group and you're Spirit-led. It's not that you've done all this good activity for the community and you're finally Spirit-led. It's not that you were baptized once in the Holy Spirit and now you're Spirit-led. No, Spirit-led is actually the indwelling of the Spirit, but being prompted, being led by, allowing the Spirit to guide and teach and instruct and direct and correct and counsel. And then there's a cooperation that you and I agree and choose to let the Spirit lead us, not on Sunday morning only, when we're lifting our hands and singing praises, now we're Spirit-led. No, you're in a spiritual atmosphere and you're joining everyone else. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an everyday decision and choice to say, I'm going to be renewed, I'm going to be restored, I'm going to be rejuvenated, I'm going to allow Him to reset some things in my life so that each day I wake up, I'm living this Spirit-led life. Now, in order to be Spirit-led, you need to do what Pastor Bruce, Molly, and Pastor Deborah talked about, and what I talked about in my first sermon. And so I want to kind of recap that. I feel so far from you. Am I out of the picture here, or are you following me? Is this better? Good, thank you. So when I first began this sermon series, I talked to you about, finding ourselves being blessed by the glorious riches of Christ and living in those glorious riches. I talked to you about three riches that you found in Ephesians chapter 3. And we talked about the mighty power of God. We talked about the outpouring of the love of Christ. And then we talked about the blessings that were available through Jesus Christ. And then Pastor Bruce, he discussed that living the Spirit-led life meant that you had to increase your faith. And he talked about the universal process, and he said it's a three-part process. And he talked about, in the first point was that God speaks His Word. I really like that. And He can do that through His Word. He can do that through somebody else. He can do that through circumstances. He can do that in the prophetic. He can do that through the promptings of the Spirit and the conviction of the Spirit and the warnings of the Spirit. He can speak many, many diverse ways. And he says he always speaks the word into your heart to captivate your faith so that you will pursue the purposes of God. He talked about that. And then part two, he mentioned that you're going to be tested. That word has to be tested. And how that's tested is through your character, through life circumstances, and your faith will go through a crisis. And he talked about there'll be times when your faith goes through a crisis that you even doubt that God actually spoke that word to you. And he said that just about the time when you're doubting and you're about to give that word up, that's the time you need to pull that word out and begin to pray about it and fight for it. I believe we're in that season right now. Can I tell you? We better fight for some of the words that God has spoken to us personally. We better fight as a congregation through prayer, through worship, through gathering together in church like this, and fight for the spiritual blessings that God has for us corporately, as families, as neighborhoods, in your workplaces. Pastor Deborah talked about that last week, right? And then he talked about the third step was that God seemingly, I liked when he chose that word, seemingly fulfills that word. And I liked the choice of the word seemingly because it meant that we were a little apprehensive. It seems that the way that we predicted that God would bring that word about, that he didn't bring it about the way we thought he should have. But it did happen. Isn't that good? I thought, that's exactly where I'm at, Lord, right now. Boy, did I need to hear that word. And then I really appreciated Molly Porter's word and this anticipation, this getting ourselves ready to live a Spirit-filled life. And she really talked about knowing, having the knowledge of who God is, having the knowledge of God's word. And she revealed through her own personal journey in San Antonio about being mentored. Remember that story and how she just was hungry for God's word. And then she really encouraged us to grab a hold of the hope of God's calling. And I liked how she used Max Licato's story. That was a great story. And how she used that story to show us we need to pull off the dots and the labels that have been put on us that have actually apprehended this hope and this calling we have in God. And then she really hammered it home. I thought it was excellent when she talked about plugging in to the power and the strength of God in Ephesians chapter 1. And she talked about how important it is not to actually get all wrapped up in the small stuff. And she talked about, miracles have happened in her life over and over and over, but when the small stuff gets in the way, we forget the bigger miracles of God, right? And I think leading a Spirit-filled life, you really have to understand miracles are happening in your life on a regular basis. We think they always have to be these big, phenomenal miracles. I don't believe that those are always what happened to us. I believe there's even the smaller miracles in our lives of relationships that have been made right, where forgiveness was given when it was actually a very difficult situation to forgive, where you were just on the brink of losing perhaps even your way of supporting yourself through a job or through whatever means, and God blessed you with another means. I mean, those are miracles. And then there are the miracles of the physical realm and the supernatural realm. Let's not negate those, because Molly didn't negate them. She said, I'm ready for miracles. Remember she said that? I'm ready for some miracles. And then last week, I really appreciate it. The 7 points that Pastor Deborah brought home about the importance and the significance of the Word of God. And then I liked how she tied in Pastor Johnson's book, The Way of Life, and how she talked about we live in a different culture in the world because we belong to the culture of the kingdom of God. And she talked about your sphere of influence and how you take that sphere of influence into your neighborhood and into your workplace and into your family, and how you're called to be a transformer. That's being somebody who's led by the Spirit. Amen? I mean, were you not thrilled with those sermons? You see, that's why it's not an event. You can't just come to a service and just hear one word and it's all changed. I've learned after serving God for over 35 years, 36 years, that it's an ongoing process. And it really is a choice. And it really is important that we make that choice from moving it from a calendar event, from an agenda event, from a goal-setting appointment, from just, I'll meet with God because I want this, to I'm meeting with God because I want to be like Him. And all those who were ministering while I was gone, the real focus was being like Christ. Becoming like Christ. Living in the image of Christ. That's not an event. That's a lifestyle. Are you hearing me this morning? So I want to take you, what I did on my vacations is I took the opportunity. Oh boy, now my computer just went down. So what I did is I went on during my vacation, and I spent time, and I really took time in my devotions to think about living this Spirit-led life. And what has that meant to me? And what has that done for me? And what am I going to do in the next year in my life to live a Spirit-led life? Here it comes. And so I want to talk to you how you, through the reflections of the Word and through the things that the Spirit revealed to me this week, what you can do to continue to live this Spirit-led life. And I want to look at Psalm 136, verses 1 to 3. And I want to talk about acknowledging how God's steadfast love and His faithfulness have impacted your personal life. I think you have to reflect upon that. Because if you don't reflect and acknowledge that God's steadfast love and His mercy and His faithfulness have not sustained you, then you can't give Him credit when the Spirit's moving in your life. It says this in Psalm 136, verses 1 to 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. Say that with me. His steadfast love endures forever. Now, this psalm goes on for over 100 verses and actually says that. His steadfast love endures forever. You'll want to pull it up and read it. It says, verse 2, give thanks to the Lord, to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. And I really felt the Lord really encouraging me in my soul, because my soul was weary. My spirit was exhausted. My mind was tired. I didn't want to make another decision. I didn't want to read another book. I didn't want to write another paper. You hear what I'm saying? You get to that place, I hit a wall. And it was just like, it was time to chill in the Lord. And so what I began to do the first week of my vacation is go back to the book of Psalms. And go back and just allow the Psalms to wash over my mind, wash over my fatigued spirit. You know, some people say, well, COVID really has really refocused us and brought us back to the most essential things, our families. I believe that's true. But I also believe COVID has exhausted us spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. And I think we need those times to declare and give thanks to the Lord. And so declare, not just God is good, but declare who He is. It says in here, the God of gods. That means there's many gods, but He's the God of all gods. Many people worship many other gods, but He's God Almighty. He's the God of the universe. He's the one we worship. We don't worship any other god. He is the living God who endures forevermore, and His kingdom will not be destroyed. Amen? And so declaring, the Holy Spirit dropped this thought into my time of worship when I was with Him. And He said, your limited view of God, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to me, your limited view of God limits how you allow Him to move in your life. If you don't recognize Him to be the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the all-powerful and the all-knowing, the all-present, if that's just a religious thought to you, it will be difficult for you to live a Spirit-led life. You really have to trust in God. You really have to believe He is God. You have to believe in the promises that He says. Who He says He is who He is. Amen? What He says He'll do, He will do. What He's capable of doing, He will do. Amen? And so I said to the Lord at that time when the Spirit dropped that thought in my heart, and I mulled it over, wrote about it, I journaled about that thought, and I just said, Lord, increase my ability. Don't allow my own limitations to limit how You move in my life. The enemy of our soul wants us to doubt and disbelieve in God. He wants us to believe we're disqualified from receiving the steadfast love of the Lord. He wants us to believe we're disqualified from receiving the forgiveness of God. He wants us to believe we're disqualified from the mercy of God. We're just getting started, folks. If you're a born-again believer and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you have access to the steadfast love and the faithfulness of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God every single day. Whoa! You can't get that on camera. Amen? Yes! God is good. At times we need to readjust our perspective of who God Almighty is and His awesomeness. He is awesome. He is more than awesome, more than wonderful. He's God. And acknowledging who He is will strengthen our faith. Last 3 weeks ago, Pastor Bruce talked about a faith in crisis. Well, if you want to get out of a crisis in your faith, then begin to declare who God is. Some of us do more complaining and more grumbling about what we don't have, where we've not been, where we need to go, what God hasn't done, who hasn't done what they should have done for me, who's wronged me, how they wronged me, what they've done to wrong me. And we forget we serve the God who can actually heal, restore, renew, rebuild our entire lives. Amen? Amen? Has God spoken to me? I think so. One of the things that I loved growing up was camping. And one of the aspects of camping was I loved campfires. I love campfires. I liked building the fire. Starting the fire was even more thrilling than building it. I loved when it went up and huge. I still try that today. I tried it so hard, it went out so quick, I had to take a paper and fan the thing back to life. I was like, James, you've lost your touch. I find them so soothing. And as I was sitting by the campfire several occasions, I just had this image of the Refiner's Fire, that song. Remember, Refiner's Fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, willing to do your will. Something like that, right? I'm pretty on track. And that song just kept rolling around in my spirit. And God spoke to me and He said, part of removing, listen folks, write this down. Part of removing the limitations from your life is being willing to be refined. I don't know about you. I don't like to jump in the fire. And I don't know about you, but I've been burned so many times. But I know this for sure, that when the Holy Spirit is refining, it's for holy purposes in your life. Some of you need a refiner's fire just like me. I'm not talking about marshmallows and Hershey bars and graham crackers. Schmorsch. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you making yourselves and me making myself available to remove the limitations so that my faith can soar. Amen? You're going to need that faith in days to come, folks. I'm just telling you the truth. And you're going to... have to make a choice. I can't make that for you. Some of you have been in the fire and you can smell the soot, right? But stay close to the Lord. I really feel this strong in my heart today. Because I've been in that process. Right now I feel a little scorched. And you know what? That's okay. It doesn't make me weak. It makes me realize my God is awesome. Amen? Makes me realize that. And I want that for you. I prayed that for you while I was gone. We're in these moments of life where we're going to need to readjust our perspective of who God is in our lives. And we're going to need to ask Him through the refining fire of the Holy Spirit to remove those limitations that you've placed upon yourself. I don't know what they are. But I want you right now, I listed my limitations that I could think of. But right now, just take the time as we're together. And once you do this, I want you to put up your hand so I know you've done it. And then I'm going to pray for you. Don't get up. Just think of that one limitation right now. If there was something in your way of your perspective that God is this awesome God. If there's this situation in your life that is because you've been burned in the natural, you won't let the Holy Spirit refine you. What is that one situation? Once you find it, put up your hand and I want to pray for all of us. Just take your time. This is not rushing. Just get your hand up once you've done it so I know you've done it. It's up to you, whatever it is.
Repeat that again.
Yep. What is that one situation in your life that actually distorts the perspective of God or stops the refiner's fire of the Holy Spirit in your life due to the limitations that you place on yourself? What is that? And put up your hand once you find it. One thing. Good. People are thinking. People are experiencing. That's awesome. Keep those up. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, this is a sacred moment because you are an awesome God. And we understand this morning that the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. We ask, Lord God, that these limitations that have been in our way, perhaps that others have placed on us, life has brought our way, or we place upon ourselves, that you would remove them. And that we would allow this refiner's fire to come and purify us for the purposes of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Let the process begin. Remember, it's not an event, it's a lifestyle, right? It's not an event, it's a
lifestyle.
Good for you. Another reflection you'll find I want to discuss this morning is found from Psalm 138, verses 7 and 8. And I want to talk to you about approaching God with humility when your soul is in trouble. Not demanding from God when your soul is in trouble, but really approaching Him in humility. And it says here in verse 7 and 8 in Psalm 138, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." And I had to really think and meditate on that scripture about approaching God with humility. Now, for me, the right hand of God had some negative implications. Because when I was a boy and I was in trouble, my father used to take his right hand and cuff me on the head. No matter what I did, I got a cuff either in the ear or behind the head. And so when I read that, I didn't realize that that was in the way of how I perceive my God. And as I read this, I thought, wow, you stretch out your hand and your right hand delivers me. Now, he could discipline me to deliver me, by the way. But God's discipline, when I approach in humility, is not harsh. It's compassionate. It's merciful. And I thank God that he answers me and increases the strength of my soul when I'm weary, when I'm exhausted, when I'm fearful, when I feel defeated, when I'm victorious, when I'm overcoming, when I'm more than a conqueror, when the horns are going off in Rochester. God is with me. And he's ministering to my troubled soul. And I had sensed as I was preparing this that there are some troubled souls. Your emotions, your will is not moving towards God. Your will is determined to take your ground, take your stand, and prove to God that you're capable of doing this on your own. And God's saying, whoa, 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 that's the wrong mindset. And over the last 2 years, I've been in school in a very intense program. And all the things that I was challenged to do were areas where I had to step it up. And I was not capable of doing it on my own. I'm telling you this. I really required the grace of God in a whole new measure. The whole experience was bathed in the grace of God. And things that I never thought I was capable of accomplishing, I learned to do. I mean, I learned how to do classes online. I learned how to send papers through Moodle. I learned how to do Zoom meetings. I learned how to do reviews. I learned how to do chatting rooms. Are you kidding me? God can teach an old dog new tricks. Can I tell you that? And so when you approach God with humility and your soul is weary, your soul is troubled, and your soul needs the strength of God, the strength and grace of God will be allotted. And there is plenty of it. Can I tell you that? Again, it's a process. It's not an event. It's not because I'm going through a bad week, I need the grace of God. No. The grace of God is there day after day after day after day. And when you're living a spirit-led life, you're willing to tap into that grace and you're willing to put up your hand and say, Father, help me out on this one. This situation is over my head. This person is grating me. I need help. This circumstances beyond any of my other experiences. I need you to come in and ramp it up and lead me on and deliver me with your right hand. And your right hand will hem me in from the right and hem me in from the left. And your right hand is going to direct me on a straight path. Amen? Thank God for remaining committed to fulfill his purposes despite the enemy's attack. And that's what the enemy likes to do. He likes to bring defeat, make you feel hopeless, make you feel there's no way out of whatever situation you might be involved in that's difficult. And he's saying, give up. I'm saying, you're just getting started. What did he say? He would crush the enemy under his foot. He said he did that when he rose from the dead, right? He crushed the enemy's head under his foot. When I was fishing at one of the campsites that we were at, there was this huge water snake. He was disgusting, but intriguing. And there wasn't one. How many were there, babe? 4 water snakes. They were this long. They were huge. And they would, one came right up to where I was fishing, and he had a mole, a muskrat, something in his mouth. It was pretty cool. And he was trying to come up onto the riverbank, and I knew Greta was fishing not too far off from me, and I knew what that would mean if she saw that snake. And she said, and so I told her, there's a snake. She's like, hit it with your fishing rod. I hit it. The thing just stared at me. But it didn't stare at me. It glared at me. I went, oh, my goodness, he's coming after me. So I took a rock, and I threw the rock at him, and he scurried off. And I remember that vivid eye-to-eye contact. And what the enemy wants to do is think you to believe that when he connects with you, his eye is more powerful than the eyes of the Lord. No, 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 no. If the Lord says, my eye is even on the sparrow, my eye on you is that much more. Amen?
Amen.
And so when I saw that, I'm like, wow, it's so easy to get caught up in the enemy's doing everything. This is the enemy. No, 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 it's not always the enemy. Or the enemy's word is more powerful than the Lord's word. Not. Can I just say that? Not. It's not true. You've learned that. We've discussed that. God will not forsake his work in your life, and he will remove the distractions from your life that try to disrupt the Holy Spirit's work in your life. That snake was just there to disrupt what we were doing. You know why? Because we were disrupting what he wanted to do. And God wants us on the offense. He wants us to disrupt what the enemy's trying to do. Because we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Amen? Oh my. I just want to give you one more point. Is that okay? I have three others, but I'll just give you one more. I want to take you to Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5. And it reads this. My child, if you accept my words. What does it say? If you accept my words. It doesn't mean you're going to. It doesn't mean you want to. It doesn't mean because you've been a Christian for how long or so long that you're going to naturally do that. If you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive. What? Making your ear attentive, meaning you have to participate. When the Spirit is moving, you have to participate. You have to actually listen to what the Spirit is prompting, warning, counseling, guiding. Whatever the Spirit is trying to do, if you're living a Spirit-led life, then you want to be prompted and guided and counseled and led and protected by the Holy Spirit. It's not all about warm fuzzies, folks, and highs, because most of life is not the highs. It's kind of right here, isn't it, sometimes? The everyday. Making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it for silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And that's what Molly was talking about. We need to find the knowledge of God. You have to determine in your heart to invite and request wisdom to lead you. And wisdom was there at the beginning with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. She was there before the earth was created. She was ready to do at the spoken command of God what needed to be done. Don't allow your insecurities to rob you of the opportunity to let wisdom protect you. Don't go at it alone. Get in the Word. Get wise counsel. And a lot of people go for counseling, but once they hear what they hear and they don't like what they heard, or the direction was a discipline or a correction or rebuke, more people who are Christians will walk away blaming the counselor for giving the counsel according to the word, because that was not their translation. Are you with me, folks? And I've been guilty of that myself. The Holy Spirit is always counseling. The Holy Spirit is always protecting. The Holy Spirit is always convicting us. The Holy Spirit warns us, encourages us. He is allowing the love and the hope and the faith and the peace of God to minister to us. We know that to be true because when Jesus rose from the dead and the apostles were seated in that upper room, terrified, brokenhearted, grieving, distraught, disappointed in themselves, Jesus comes and his first words were what? Peace be unto you. He began to speak in the prompting of the Spirit that the fruit of the peace of the Holy Spirit was going to bring them through this time and season of fear and grief and hopelessness. Peace be unto you. He didn't say it once, he said it three times in the same chapter. And he's saying, tap in to the wisdom of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and you will release the fruit of the Spirit in your life to a greater measure. Listen attentively to wisdom's promptings, warnings, and safety nets to guide you, guard you. And the word says that when we make getting wisdom a priority, we're actually loving ourselves. It says that in Proverbs 9. I love that. You're actually loving yourself. You're not being selfish. You're not being arrogant. You're loving yourself when you say, I lack understanding. I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way's up or down. I don't know. I'm confused right now. I'm not hearing you correctly. And what does it say? It says, if you indeed cry out for insight. He's saying, cry out. Make every effort to let him hear what is concerning your heart today. You know, when I've been learning how to back up a pop-up trailer. It's one of the most difficult things to do. Can I tell you that? I had to go and take lessons on how to do it. Even after taking, we're talking the 6-hour lessons on how to back up my trailer and pull it out and do it again. I went to do it and it took me an hour just to back it in. And I stayed the course. And you know what I did this time? Instead of getting angry and frustrated and speaking cruel things about myself. Oh, you can do that easy, can't you? Just hook up a pop-up trailer and try that one, right? Try that. Excuse me. I'm just going through puberty. Try that. So this time I'm backing up and the thing starts swerving right and left. I stopped and I prayed and I said, Lord, give me your insight. Remind me what the fella taught me. And let me not be impulsively James. Don't let me be impulsive. Let me slow down and just think this through. And just I start thinking it through and remembering the lessons I took. And then eventually I was able to back it up and my spirit was intact. That's what wisdom will do. It'll keep you on the straight and narrow, keep you aligned, keep you moving in the right direction. That's what God's wisdom will do. Ask yourself if you are humble today. And ask yourself if you're willing to accept the wisdom of God when you feel weary or weak or in spiritual turmoil. You see, life can be a Spirit-led life. It's not an event, right? It's a lifestyle. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this time in your word today. Thank you for this gathering of being together. I missed everybody. So good to see everyone's faces. We thank you for this amazing series that we've been in. All those who've ministered and brought the word, bless them, encourage them, build their faith. Lord, move us into this next season that you're bringing us into, desiring to be Spirit-led. We ask, Lord God, that you would help us to approach you, that you would allow us, Lord God, to allow you, and Lord, that we would agree with the word as we move into the season of allowing the Spirit to speak, to guide, to correct, to encourage, and to build up our most holy faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. So great to see you. So glad to be home. Have a great week loving Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.